Okay, let's open our Bibles and to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start a new lesson, lesson 52. Now, we're still on this love business, walking in love. And I really believe the Lord has given me a lesson called Five Steps to Walking in Love. Never read these anywhere else, but in the last 30 years, the Lord has kind of taken me through from school on this whole business, because I really needed it bad when I got saved. I mean, I was completely for myself. Even in my family, I came first. What I wanted to do on vacation. If we went on a vacation, well, I wanted to go. But you don't consciously do this kind of stuff. Nobody sits down and says, I want to do everything I want to do. You just do it, and you don't realize what you're doing. And I'd done this for the first 11 years of our marriage, and didn't really know what I was doing. And when I was unhappy and I would land on Marianne, not physically of course, but I mean verbally or something, I was upset with myself, really. That was the bottom line. So the Lord really had to take me through a lot of lessons on this whole love business. And I won't go through this again because I've shared it, but the very first thing he ever spoke to me was, Mike, say you're sorry to Marianne. That was the very first time I ever heard God speak. And when I say speak, I don't mean an audible voice, I just mean in my heart. A brand new Christian says, Mike, apologize to Marianne. And that was the beginning of a whole new marriage. So I've got a little lesson I call Five Steps to Walking in Love. Now, step one is all we're going to talk about tonight, because I don't want to cover too much. I don't want to feel hurried like I do sometimes. I just want to settle down and talk about step number one. Now, remember, the reason we're discussing this whole topic is that Jesus gave us a commandment. The only commandment he really left us with was to love one another. Love God and love one another. Everything that a Christian is, really, springs out of this one thing. Every instruction in the Word of God, really, all the Ten Commandments spring out of walking in love. If you walk in love, you're not going to steal from your brother or sister or anybody, or rob them or covet what they have and all of these things. So he gave us a commandment to love one another. We all know that. But what specifically did he mean? Well, love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? Well, I want to really get into detail on what I think the Lord meant by walking in love. All right? And there's five steps that I'm going to cover. Step number one tonight. Get these three questions settled. Now, what does it mean to get something settled? That means you get to the point where you decide, this is the way, and this is the only way. Get it settled. This is the way it works. It's not something, what I'm trying to do is get past the idea of, well, here's an idea, give it a try. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the way that God says in his word to react with other people. And he wants us, and this is the thing he impressed upon my spirit this week, get it settled. This is it. Not I don't mean in a judgmental or angry manner, he gave me this impression, but just people need to get it settled inside. This is the way. And then put it into practice. So get these three questions settled first. First of all, let me just say this before I get into first question. Walking in love, this is what the Lord's been dealing with me about. Walking in love starts at home. I'm not preaching to anybody in particular or anything like that. I am just telling you what God told me this week. Walking in love starts where you live, with the person God put you with primarily, and the people he surrounded you with. If you're single right now, it's the people you interact with the most. It's not some mysterious person way off that I've got to love in the future, in the distance. It's the people right around you right now. Walking in love starts at home with those we know best and requires settling the answer to three questions. To make progress in walking in love, we have to get the answers to these questions settled in our spirits. Question number one you have to get settled is, what about them? This is a question I had to get settled, and I'm still settling it. But it's a lot easier, better now than it was before. First, I had to learn that it's not about me. In other words, and when I start to walk in love, it's not a fair question. This is not the question the Lord wants to hear. Okay, I'm doing this, but what about them? What are they doing? I don't see a whole lot coming from them. This is a natural question. I had this question because I had said to Marianne, honey, I'm sorry. We'd gotten a few things sorted out, and God was still dealing with me about this whole question of loving Marianne. Basically, the Lord and I had a dialogue like this. Lord, I'm bending over backward to love Marianne now. But what about Marianne? You said wives submit to your husbands. There's some things she's got to do too, right? Ephesians 5, you got there yet? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this. Well, 23, let's go to 23 first. It says, 22. It does say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And so I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, what about Marianne? I mean, I'm trying here. What about Marianne? Didn't you say wives were supposed to submit to their husbands? It seems like I'm making all the concessions here. Here's what the Lord showed me. The verse that I am quoting to him, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, starts with the word what? Wives. The Lord told me this. He says, when I start a verse with wives, that means it's for wives. That seems obvious, doesn't it? If I say, Marianne, I'm not talking to Steve, am I? He says, you have a right to skip any verse that starts with wives. Well, this is real elementary, wouldn't you think? But, you know, I didn't know that. I thought, I read that wives business, it's in the Bible, submit yourselves to your own husbands, and I was bringing it up to the Lord as something that she needed to start doing if I'm going to do all these other things. And the Lord said to me, when I start a verse like that, it means it's for wives. Don't worry about her. You should worry about the verses that start off with husbands. I mean, you got to get real simple with me sometimes, okay? I mean, I got the message real quick. God was dealing with it. And he says, did you notice two verses down? There's one that says husbands. Yeah? What does it say? Husbands, love your wife. Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You might give yourself for your wife. But what about, what did I say? Wives, that's for her. You know, and all of a sudden it just opened up and I could see something for the first time in my life. God has verses in the Bible that I'm supposed to do. The whole purpose of the Bible is to be a mirror for me when I read it. It's not a window to look through and see somebody else. Now, it's tempting sometimes, I grant you that. Very tempting. I mean, you read a verse and you say, you know, lie. Boy, that gets brand. I know somebody really lies. You know, that's not the idea. That's not why the Lord put it in the Bible. When you read about lying, to think about all the people you know that are liars. And we talked about anger, to think of all the people you know that get really angry. That's not the purpose. He says in James chapter 1, verse 23 to 25, that we're to be not just hearers of the word, but doers. And then he goes on to say that these people he's talking about, when they look in the Bible, it should be like a mirror. He says, when you go and look in the, he called it, you know, look in the glass, but it's in the King James, but it's a mirror, and you see yourself. Now that's what we're talking about here. I see in here, husbands, love your wives and give yourself for her. That is supposed to be a mirror for me. I'm supposed to see myself there and say this. I need to do more of that, or think I'm doing that now. Thank God that he's taught me in this area. And move on if you want to. But it's never supposed to be a window. It's supposed to be a mirror. It's not something that we're supposed to look through it like I did and say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. She's not doing that to my satisfaction. You know, we need to talk about this. That's not what it's supposed to do. That's not what the word is for. All the things that Jesus ever did was giving of himself for others. He wasn't going around going, hello, you notice you guys aren't loving me enough lately? You know, you should treat me pretty bad here around this cross business. I mean, you know, hey, you're talking pretty mean about me. I didn't do any of this stuff. All I went and did, I went in the synagogues, I taught, I tried to give people a better life, I healed people. I'm trying to do good stuff, and you guys are all over my case. He didn't do that kind of stuff, did he? He just did what he was supposed to do. And that's what God's telling us. Just do what you're supposed to do. And if you will, I'll take care of the other person. That's just the next lesson the Lord told me. So question number one, what about them? Don't worry about them. That's what the Lord teaches you. All right? 1 Peter 3:7. Yes, honey?
I need to say something here. Okay. I can't get said in exactly the words that I need to say. But,
okay.
When the word comes into submission, the concept of submission is kind of repugnant to every free spirit in the world, okay? But if your husband chooses to submit or chooses to love you to the point that Jesus loved us and died for us, and we trust the Lord, we trust Jesus, then because he very obviously loves me to the point that Jesus loves me, I mean, he will stand in the way and take care of everything, then I can trust him. And if I can trust him, then I can submit. But because you trust someone to give their all for you, it becomes reciprocal then at that point. The submission is not, whatever you say, honey, I will do. It becomes much more reciprocal, because then he realizes, maybe I have an opinion or maybe I have a different viewpoint, and he's willing to leave himself more vulnerable. Like when the Lord told him to come and apologize to me, that was total vulnerability. I mean, it was just, it went all night long. So it began to build a point where I could really trust him not to stomp on me and not to push me down like a slave. That's not the concept of submission. And you've never been wholly guilty of that, but I have come across Christian couples that it was just mind-blowing. The wife just looks like a mere shadow from herself, and she never gets... Mm-hmm. Well, that's not a human thing. That's not an interrelationship. That's more of a slave view.
This is no test.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is, as long as your husband fully gives himself to the idea of treasuring his wife as Jesus treasured us, to give his own self for us, then you can see that in your husband. Then becomes the deeper, more intense relationship that becomes an even Stephen thing.
You see, that's the Lord's work in the other person then. After we decide just to do it because he said for us to do it, then the Lord goes to work in the other person and brings about a change in them too. So, you know, it was a hard thing for me to get settled, to get it settled, that you just need to do, Mike, what the Word says for you to do. And I'll worry about Marianne. And also, look at verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The man is supposed to submit himself to the wife too. It's not just a one-way street. This is just a continuation, verses 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. We're supposed to, men are supposed to submit to their wives, too. And that's not a weak thing to do. That just means that you give her credit for being every bit an equal child of God as you are in God's eyes. And he very well may speak through Marianne rather than me on something he wants to do. But one thing's for sure, if he wants us to do something, is going to be an agreement in our spirits, because the same Holy Spirit that lives in her spirit lives in my spirit. And he's going to tell Marianne one thing and me something else. Any disagreement happening is on the fleshly level, and we just need to get down inside and figure out what God wants us to do, and there'll be perfect harmony and agreement. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and you'll see another husband verse. And you say, well, you know, you're really picking on the husbands, Mike. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not a wife, and I don't have a lot of... The Lord taught me not to read the wife verses, so, man... You know, I'm sorry, but this is what I had to learn. I had to quit reading the wives verses. But I'll tell you what, if the men will read the men verses, the husband verses, God will get the wives reading the wife verses. Believe me, he will. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Would you like to start over here, Sydney, and read verse 7 for us?
In like manner, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Okay, now there's a lot in that verse that Sydney just read. It starts off, likewise ye husbands. Here's another verse that's not for the wives, it's for the husbands, okay? These are instructions for a husband. Not a wife. Husbands, we're supposed to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. What does that mean? Well, give honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel. In other words, be her protector, treat her with respect, treat her as precious, esteemed or cherished is what that means in the Greek. Cherished. All right? Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Not you. You're not the big cheese. This is what, I'm not saying you, I'm saying this is what it said the Lord dealt with my spirit when I read this. You're not the big cheese. You're heirs together of all the graces and things that I have in life. Together. And Mike, furthermore, if you don't do this, your prayers are going to be hindered. Not because of me, I want to bless you. But simply because you're not obeying what my word says that I want husbands to do. This is what you do, Mike, when you walk in love. First, start close to home. It's not some mysterious person out there in the great by and by that God wants me to love first. It's Marianne. And the people around me, the people close to me, the people in the Bible says, the people I interact with. In other words, if you walk in love toward the people you see and interact with, that's all you got to do. You don't have to walk in love with people you don't ever going to see in your life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just the people around you. It's not some mysterious person out there that we're looking for to come over the horizon that I might walk in love toward. No, it's they're all around you. This is what God's saying here. All right? All right, so question number one, what about them? Forget about them. Furthermore, as I dwelt on this, the Lord showed me one more thing. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. This really got me thinking. Up to now, he had managed to get me quit thinking about myself a little bit and started thinking about what the Word tells me I'm supposed to do toward Marianne and quit worrying about her submitting and start loving her and cherishing her and treat her as a joint heir of the grace of life. And just about the time I figured, well, that's it then. That's all I have to do. The Lord showed me this when I about threw up my hands. I'm not kidding you. Because up to this point, we got to some cases where Marianne had a good idea, and I had a good idea. Now, what are you going to do? I love her. She loves me. But I don't think where she wants to go is where we should go. And she doesn't think where I want to go is where I should go. The wife is supposed to submit to the husband, right? I don't know anything about that. If there's any verse in the Bible like that, Marianne knows about it. I don't. You understand what I'm saying here? I don't know about that verse. Men should not know about that verse because it says wives. Now, I'm trying to make this as clear as I can. Men don't worry about that verse. You know what the verse God gave me to worry about was? Philippians 2:3. This one really got me. I'll read it myself here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That means self-conceit. Now, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What's okay, I won't be strife. I won't get into strife. I'm not going to be conceited. All right, fine. But in lowliness of mind, let each, get this now, this is a tough one, esteem the other better than themselves.
Which is what Jesus did for all of us.
I know. But I don't want to do that. That means I got to give in. That means there's no more arguments till daylight comes. Nicely, though, you understand, because we're walking in love now. Honey, I just can't ever agree with that. I'm sorry. Well, honey, I can't agree with that either. Well, you know, we're walking in love, but I don't agree with you. Hey, how about just esteeming her better than yourself?
To be perfectly honest, as much as my husband is the way he is now, he's a changed being because God changed him. This man was meant to be another F. Lee Bailey. He could argue me into the corner and have me in tears and come away the winner. Easy.
A logical mind.
I'm very verbal, but I'm also a little bit scattered, and he would pin me to the wall every single argument before he realized that every time he did that, he tore down whatever I tried. And finally, I just became one of his children, semi-freedom, and devious. Okay?
Devious, see?
I just moved around him. I would hide things because I couldn't.
Into the point where I began to love Marianne and began to do what I was supposed to be, husband, love your wife and give yourself for them, we would still get into these discussions, not on an angry basis, but just, you know, I have this question. You know, I have a right to my opinion. Marianne, I at least got to the point, I thought this was real progress, that Marianne has a right to her opinion too. And I got there. The problem was, that wasn't fair enough. She had a right to her opinion. She had some disputes. And I had some opinions too. But we weren't getting anywhere. I mean, you know, even though we weren't fighting, I still had my ideas, she had hers. And then the Lord showed me this verse. This was a tough one for me. I tried to wiggle out from under this with every way. Marianne says, the Lord really changed me. Let me tell you why. Because he cared for me more? No. He wants to do the same thing with everybody. But if he's going to do it, you've got to give his word first place in your life. Not how they operate on days of our lives or something like that. Or one of these soul robbers. But what does my word say? If you will get into his word and as much as you know, do what you're supposed to do, God will bless the socks right off of you. But you know what? He's looking for people. You know, the Marines say we're looking for a few good men. God's looking for some Christians that will trust his word implicitly and say, God, you have the best idea. I'm willing to give you credit for that. Now, what did you say about this? Well, I'd gotten into that mode. I had gotten at least to the point where I told God, if you show me something in your word, God, I promise you I'll do it. And so God would see this back and forth, not giving in, not fighting, but, and God showed me this verse, and that is to esteem the other, this is the case, the other around me most is Marianne, better than yourself. That doesn't mean she is better than yourself in God's eyes. It just means God wants you to esteem her better than yourself. And don't ask the question, Mike, what if she doesn't esteem me better than herself? Don't worry about it. he really had me in a corner here. I mean, there was no way out. Unless I would say, forget this word business, Lord. I'm not doing it anymore.
And
then I could get out.
You wouldn't be here today if you had done that.
Right.
Sure.
But I said, I had told God, if you show me, I'll do it. And folks, he'll show you if you tell him that. He'll show you. But you got to open the word, too, you understand. You can't just say, show me, Lord, and go like this, you know. You've got to be open to him talking to you.
So in practical terms, how does this apply to your difference of opinion?
I would just say, honey, let's give it a try your way.
Or you'd say, where can we agree? So we'd start that, we'd back up our own opinions, and get to the point where we get to the point where, okay, I think we can both agree at this point. You know, when you put yourself back into, because of pride, you put yourself back into corner.
Oh, I see what you're
you
saying.
Kind of pull, you both pull back out of your corners, just a little bit.
Right. See, here's what way it works in practice. If I will give in to Marianne and say, honey, okay, let's do it your way. I mean, then she all of a sudden is in the mood to, boy, you know, this
maybe
is my way. Maybe you got a good point, honey. I know, I'm not saying this is necessary. All of a sudden, all the pride stuff starts falling out of it. At least now you're dealing on what do we really want to do. I don't have my pride at stake, or she's, I just got to disagree for disagreement's sake, even though I'd be careful not to get mad, you know. And I can just say, well, honey, let's try it your way. You know, we've never done it that way before. You might just have an idea here. Let's go to Salt with this place on vacation.
Yeah,
give it a go.
God changed you.
Yeah, thank goodness. Because we'll get to another.
You were probably very difficult.
I was not.
Before this happened, I said, Mom, because my mother was over in California with me, and I was crying sometimes about things. I said, Mike doesn't love me. She said, oh, she said he does. He can't make it without you. He does. I said, I don't know it. And I didn't know it. Because I was one of the kids. I was whatever, you know, he was in command.
Okay. Well, just some of the things that Mike's been saying, I see it as a little kid. That's what the things they come up with.
Yeah.
Well, see, because he's got this mind of everything being in its right place at all times, it's like everybody and every thought was in the right place at all times. But you marry a human, you don't marry a robot. And this human tended to have a few opinions.
See, I would say thanks to Marianne, like, see, I'm an orderly person inside. I like order. Marianne's more, and I love her personality for this, is more of a little slapdash, you know? Whatever. Now she's more easygoing, laid back, and she's able to also adapt to things that change a lot easier than I am, quickly. And so when we first got married, in the first 10 or 15 years of our marriage, I was used to, even when I was a little kid, I kept my room clean and stuff like that, believe it or not. And you know, she just wasn't that way. And she doesn't mind a lot of clutter. Now the house is never dirty, just cluttered. Because she's going to be needing it again sometime, you know what I mean?
Or
outside,
outside.
So I'd say, honey, if you just put away, you know, when you use it, because you eventually put it away anyway, we'd have all that time in between where it would look nice. Because eventually you do put it away. Oh boy, was that logical. But you know what the Lord showed me was that everybody has different standards on what that point is. And I would not like to be married to a wife that had a personality like mine.
Oh, you wouldn't. You
know,
killed each other.
Wouldn't.
Yes.
I knew. You know why? I need a break. I need a break from me. All right. Even though I like the way I am, we're supposed to complement each other. And that's why they say opposites attract so many times.
But if you had been at home all day with the kids, you'd have been more like Marianne.
I'd have been crazy.
Been nuts.
I'd have been nuts because there is no way you can have an orderly day completely planned out with your kids, little kids. There's just no way. Okay. All right. So the first question you got to get settled is what about them? Get it settled. Love concentrates on what I'm supposed to do and puts the other person first. Get it settled, Mike. This is the way it worked for me. Okay. Well, what about me, Lord? That was the next question I had. Okay, what about her? I understand. Okay. But what about me, Lord? If I constantly give in to Marianne and others, I'm going to be taken advantage of. I could see now that I needed not to ask the question about her, but I was a little bit afraid that if I start giving in all the time, she might take advantage here. What about me? And here's the most important point I want to get to tonight. This is something the Lord showed me that really changed the whole face of what this is all about. See, up to this point, I thought, I'm giving up stuff. This is what walking in love is. Love, walking in love means I give up doing what I want to do. I give up going where I want to go. I give up all the, you know, I mean, I'm exposing myself in a new way to Marianne, which could be taken advantage of, and I don't get a whole lot in return, but if that's what the Lord says do, I guess I'll do it because I said I would. Now, that's sort of what I got to after a while, but the Lord showed me, no, 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 this is not what I have in mind for you at all. And I was so glad to find this out. Open your Bibles to John chapter 15. And the Lord showed me some things, and I'll tell you, folks, it has worked this way ever since. You see, there's even a greater blessing for the person that's giving in. This is what the Lord showed me. And it's a practical blessing. It's not just some loosey-goosey feeling or anything like that. It's really real. And God had to show me what this was. Now, first of all, turn to John chapter 15, and we'll look at verse, I think I'm going to read these because I want to really emphasize some certain things here, hope you don't mind. First 15:9 first. Now listen to what the Lord's saying here. Now remember, in this verses that we're talking about here, Jesus is all the way through, he's talking about love. In John 13, the chapter 4, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, verse 34, that you love one another as I have loved you. And all the way verse through 14, he talks about walking in love, 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 love. Now he gets into 15 here, and he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now here's how. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Now listen to this. These things, what is he talking about? Have I spoken unto you? What's he speaking to us about? Love. Obeying his commandments. These things I have spoken unto you, listen, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be made full. What God is saying here is so important, and this is the way it works. If you will do what my word says and obey my commandment as far as walking in love goes, my joy shall come to you and your joy shall be made full. I don't know if you've ever read this real close before, but what he's saying here is so true. If you will do what his word says about walking in love, he promises you that he will flood your spirit with his joy. You know, we've all experienced as Christians every once in a while a flooding of the Lord's joy in our spirits. Something can trigger it. Anything can trigger it. A child, a sunset, just sometimes you'll look out and I'll be walking around the pond and I'll just look at what God's given me, and his joy just floods through me. It's like he's saying to me, all this I've given you because I love you, and because you've tried to do what I've asked you to do. You know, and you know the times when that joy just floods through your spirit. Well, God's saying here that when you walk in love and you obey his commandments, the joy that he has, listen, will come to you so that your joy might be made completely full. What he's saying in all practical points, when I give in to Marianne, when I put her first, my reward is his joy that comes from doing it his way. Now, sometimes there are people in this world that you're going to love. They're never going to love you back. In fact, they may try to take advantage of you. But you know what the Lord's going to do for you? It won't matter. Because if you'll do it without getting mad and saying, well, it's not working for me. I mean, I'm doing all this stuff, and look how they're treating me. If you'll put a halter on that and don't let that happen, his joy will flood your whole being. It's just like he puts his arms around you and said, that's the way. That's the way to do it. I'll tell you, folks, I wouldn't trade that for anything. I don't know of any, very few people that don't respond to love. But God will see that you get your love back. If not from that person who did you dirty, or you may not see that person again in your life. Who knows? He will see that you get it back from somewhere else. But the thing will happen is his joy will flood your spirit when you walk in love. I don't know how many times that I have tried to do this and I never heard back from the person or whatever, but every time in my own spirit, God just flooded my spirit with joy when I would do it this way. It's really worth it. I mean, it's wonderful when he does this. Now, there's a second thing that happens too. It's not just the joy that comes. There's a second thing, and I'd like you to turn to John 14 and see what it is. Verse 21. Now, you get the joy when you walk in love, but you get something else too. Now listen. He that has my commandments, what is his commandment? That we love one another, that's the main one, and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. This is the test on whether you love Jesus or not. Whether you love one another, whether you obey his commandment. If you don't do that, you don't really love Jesus, is what he's saying. Because if you love me, you'll do what I said. That's just what he's saying. It's not my words, it's what he's saying. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. Now listen. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Now here's a mysterious thing. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Manifest myself to him. Now what do you mean, Lord? Well, that's what Judas wanted to know here. Judas said unto him, because Jesus had just said, I'm going away. You got to get this in the whole context. And so they're all disturbed. As you read these first two chapters, Jesus said, I'm going away. And they're trying to understand it. And so he says, if you will keep my commandment, I will manifest myself to you. And Judas wants to know how you're going to do this because you're going away. So he says, Lord, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? How are you going to do it, Lord? That's a good question. How's he going to do it? He's not even here. Listen. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, here he goes again, he will keep my words. What? That means do what I say, right? And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. This is how he's going to manifest himself to us. He is going to make his abode with us. And I know the very first question you're going to have is this question I had of the Lord when I asked him the same question. I said, Lord, I thought you were already with us, with your Holy Spirit lives in me. And you know what the Lord showed me? That's true. But that's not the same thing. If you'll walk in love and you'll do his commandments, the Father and the Son will make their abode with you in a special way called manifesting himself to us. That's entirely different than the presence of the Holy Spirit just indwelling your spirit. How do I know this? Turn the page, if you have to, and go to John chapter 16, and God, Jesus explains it a little further. He says in verse 13, listen to this now, don't keep your attention, because you're going to learn something here that's going to be very helpful. This is something that's really helped me. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For listen, he shall not speak of himself. In other words, the Holy Spirit indwelling us is not there just to speak of himself. He's there for another reason. Several reasons, actually, but this is one of them. Okay. He shall not speak of himself. Listen, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, here's the whole key of this manifestation business. Do you want to hear from the Father? Do you want to hear from Jesus? Or do you want a silent Holy Spirit in your spirit? See, the Holy Spirit cannot speak to your spirit until he hears something. You see that right here? Because it's whatever he hears, he speaks. Does everybody see that? The Holy Spirit gets his direction for what he speaks to you from the Father and the Son. It says that in the very next verse. He shall glorify me, the Holy Spirit, for he shall receive from me and show it unto you. If he doesn't receive something from me, he can't show it unto you. And when you walk in love and obey his commandments, God's got a lot of stuff he wants to show you and manifest himself to you through the Holy Spirit. He will do it through the Holy Spirit. But if he doesn't receive anything, he won't say anything. Now listen, all things that the Father has are mine. Jesus is talking. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. In other words, here it is. Everything the Father has, he gives to Jesus. And everything that Jesus has for you, he will give unto you. And what he does is he tells the Holy Spirit to tell this to Mike, to love Mike, tell him this, manifest yourself in this way. This is what I want Mike to know about this situation. And he will give it to you. But it doesn't happen automatically. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. Do you understand that? But if you want to have this special manifestation of where he speaks to you, and whatsoever the Holy Spirit hears from Jesus and the Father, he will share unto you, you need to do this business of walking in love. Keep his commandments and he'll manifest himself to you. I found this to be absolutely true. If you will walk in love and keep that commandment uppermost in your mind with people, God will communicate with you throughout the day and everything you need to know about your business, your life, anything that you need to know. Now that's why a lot of times the Holy Spirit, even though he indwells all Christians, some Christians are always saying, you know, the Lord told me this, or well, that's overdone a little bit, okay? But what I'm trying to say is that if you want an ongoing life of God's manifestation in your life on a daily basis, where you start to do something and you feel something inside, don't do that. Check. I wouldn't get involved in that deal right there. Pray about that first. Oh, okay. I this stuff is precious. And then yet some Christians just blunder on, it seems like, and they get involved in the biggest message you've ever seen in your entire life. And they're Christians. And they've got the Holy Spirit in them. What is the difference? This is the difference. God is not able to manifest himself in their lives to the degree that he wants to, simply because they're not doing what you need to do to get that manifestation. And that is, have his commandment, keep him, and then he will manifest himself to you. Proverbs 16:3 was always a real, real special verse for me. And I saw it and it just rang in my spirit. It says this, commit your works unto the Lord, and the Lord shall establish your thoughts. That's just another manifestation. But what do you have to do first? Commit your works unto the Lord. Say, Lord, everything I'm doing today, I'm doing for you. I'm the best of my ability, Lord, today I'm going to walk in love. To the best of my ability, Lord, I'm going to walk in what your word says that I'm supposed to do and not worry about the other person. And then the Lord says, that's what committing your works unto him is. The Lord says, you do that and I will establish your thoughts throughout the day. You start to think something, you know, I mean, I've seen this over and over, I mean, in different things. It's precious. I wouldn't, you know, you don't want to do without this because it saves you from a lot of grief. You know, I mean, how many times have I been working with Sean over there in Fort Wayne, and we'll just start off at something like that, and I'll say, wait a minute, have you got so-and-so of all the stuff in the pickup? And he said, it's the one thing I don't have. You know, the Lord brings these things to your remembrance. I mean, it's just not tremendous earth-shaking miracle type stuff, but it's just day in and day out stuff that you need to function at the top in your business, in your marriage, whatever. So here's the deal. God's saying, if you'll walk in love, if you'll take this seriously, if you'll get it settled, it won't be just giving up everything you want to do. It will be something that is an avenue for me to bless you in a couple of ways. One, joy like you've never experienced before. Two, my presence in your life like you may have never experienced before. And third, guess what? I'll see that you get love back. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. I mean, that is a pretty good deal if you think about it. Now, I'm a practical person, I think, and I like to see a return on my investment. Now, up to this point in my dealings with the Lord, I truly thought that this was just something you kind of gritted your teeth and bear it. You know what I mean? As far as walking in love. I mean, this is what God said. This is what I need to do. And if I need to treat Marianne better than myself, okay, so be it. If I need to love her as Christ loved the church and give myself for her, so be it. But then God showed me, I've got a surprise for you. And I've shared two of the three things with you. And then God got all done showing me I was going to get all this joy and all this presence and manifestation of God in my life. And third, he says, I'm going to give the love back you gave. Now, that's pretty good. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And Steve, why don't you read that?
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Whatsoever? Whatsoever. You sow love, you're going to reap what?
Love.
Love. You sow animosity, you're going to reap animosity. You sow bitterness, you're going to reap bitterness. But God is saying this. He says, listen, you're not giving up anything. This is what it amounts to. And as a matter of fact, Mike, when you love her, you're going to get that love back because of what my word says. I said, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. This is a spiritual law, like gravity is in the physical sense. This is a physical law. I'm a spiritual law. That's a physical law. You love Marianne. I'm going to see that you get love back for it. Now, 99.9% of the time, that love comes back through Marianne. And that's the way it should be. But even if you love somebody that will curse you to their dying, till they go to the grave, God will see that you get that love back somewhere. Otherwise, the scripture is not true. So I'm just trying to say, this is a good deal. This is a good investment. Because not only do you get your love back, you get the joy in his presence in your life besides. Now, I'm just trying to sum up what I learned over a period of 30 years in this business. And I was so overjoyed to learn that this wasn't just a one-way street. I mean, I'm like you. I mean, if I'm investing all this, I want something back if I can. If he says no, I mean, I guess that's the way it is, but it isn't that way. And God made it that way. God doesn't do things like that. God doesn't just say, do this and get tromped on the rest of your life and nothing ever good will come with it. Finally, you go to heaven, things will be okay then. He gives you a good life now. Jesus said, I want to give you a life that is more abundant now, on this earth now. The enemy's going to try and steal and kill and destroy. And you know how he does that? Try to get you off this word. Try to keep you from walking in love. Because he knows if you get in here and do what this says, he can't stop it. And he'll try to steal that word. You ever notice the parable of the sower? What did the enemy come and steal? The word. It says the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. Tries to make you think it's not working because tomorrow nobody's run up and kissed you on the cheek because you act loving yesterday. You know, he tries to make you think, look at all you did. Nothing's happened yet. These things take time sometimes, but it will happen. So the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy and get you from doing this, But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you'll do it the way I told you in my word, it will. It'll happen. Trust me, is what he says, okay? So number two question, what about me? Get it settled. Love doesn't worry about poor me. Love trusts God for its reward, not man. And there is great rewards. Now, the third question, I'm not going to deal with this because we're getting a little late. The Lord wants me not to go too late. What about another way? I mean, that's a natural question. All right, I see you got a way in your word on this love business, but what is there another way, Lord? Is this the only way? I mean, is there another way that's not quite so hard that I can satisfy those requirements for walking in love? Because all I really said was to love one another. Is there another way? I mean, all right, what's the answer to that question? John 17:17 says the word, God's word, is truth. There's only one thing, folks, in this whole world that is 100% truth, and a lot of things that are very little truth. I mean, you know, in this world as we go along, when I was in the 50s, it seemed like people were pretty moral. I mean, they may not have been saved, but there wasn't much. I mean, it seemed like they were pretty good people. Nowadays, it seems like everything's changed a lot. Well, we got to get something settled here. Is the word going to be the last word, God's word, in our lives for how to behave, or is there some other standard? In other words, what I'm saying is this the only way? Can I go down to the bookstore and find a book on how to walk in love and satisfy all my needs of walking in love? No, I can't. That's dangerous. Because you're going on somebody else's opinion. They may have scriptures everywhere. You know, I've got an outline here full of scriptures. Is this the last word? No. What I'm trying to do is say, get in the word so God can tell you exactly what you need to know. See, this is how this all came to me. I didn't sit down and read a book on this. Oh, this is the book I read. I didn't know enough to read books. I didn't even know they had books on this then. I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know they had bookstores full of just Christian books. And they might find 50 books on walking in love in there. Thank God I didn't know it in a way, because it forced me to get in here and find out what God had to say. And I'll just warn you, don't settle for another way. Don't go out and buy a book and walk. If you do, let it augment what you're getting in here. Don't put this aside and say, this is what needs to be done. Don't put this aside and say, Mike's got five steps. Get in here and read these scriptures and let it get you in the word so you can find out what God wants specifically to tell you. See, I've got a few things that I needed to know. But God's got some rhema word for you, specific word for you that's different than what I need. And if you just read what I got here in my examples, you won't get that. You'll get a flavor of it, but you won't get the exact thing God has for you. So there is no other way. The truth is the only way that works over the long haul. All right? Now, the next thing we must do, after we find out that this is the truth, the Bible, this is the best way, we must trust that this way is the best way, is known best. This way that he's got in here is the best way because God is love himself. And the one who is love ought to know what the God kind of love is all about. And he wrote this book. We got to trust that's true. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So what we've got to do is get it settled. The way God wants us to walk in love is by hearing the love standards in this book called the Bible. And is that enough, knowing what it says? No. We've got to actually do it. And that's the hard part. It's one thing to go up in your study in the morning or wherever your private place is in the morning or wherever you do it and read in there, you know, husbands love your wives, or to see that we're to cherish her as a breakable object. That's what it says in 1 Peter 3:7. Treat her that way. She's not that way. Marianne's pretty strong. But I'm supposed to treat her that way, as if she was. The Lord showed me this one time I was meditating on this. And that's another thing. Meditate on these scriptures. When something comes up on the word about walking in love, meditate on it. Don't just say, okay, yeah. Go on to the next verse. Stop. What is this really saying? What do I need to change in my life to fully incorporate this into my life? And as I began to look at this, 1 Peter 3:7, it says about treat her as a precious vessel. I could see this goblet, you know, this crystal goblet sitting on this velvet stand. And Marianne's not a crystal goblet, but, you know, she's pretty tough, like I said. But I need to treat her that way. This is what the Lord is showing. Protect her. Keep her from the things in life that would try to hurt her. You just surround her with your protection. You know, like they talk about a bull in a china shop. You know, that's what the world is. Bulls running by all the time, and you've got this. You know, you be careful with her now. You protect her. You surround her with your love and your protection and concern. Women like to be, men to be concerned for their welfare. You know, I didn't know all this stuff, but God showed me this stuff. Now, it was one thing to find that out.
I'm sorry.
Now, you can do two things here. You can, huh? Is she? Oh, she'll do that. Bless her dear heart. Now, there's two things you can do here. You can go this far and fail completely if you don't do one more thing. I mean, you can get your Bible every day. You can read that Bible and you can make your mind up about learning all there is to know about love and read that Bible 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day and be a total failure if you don't do it. Put it into practice, and that's the hard part. But a few times when God flashes that joy on you, and a few times that you experience during the day His presence, and a few times when you see that love coming back to you, it's all worthwhile. And that's all I got to say about step number one.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
So let's go into the homework for lesson 52. Last week, I felt very good about the lesson, 2 weeks ago, because so many times, I hope every time to hit a lesson that's what the Lord wants. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And you usually know about 5 or 10 minutes into the teaching. Whether it's, and sometimes it's a mixture. Last lesson, it was exactly what the Lord wanted us to have that night. I felt really complete effort. I knew the Lord was just saying, that's exactly what I wanted. So last week's lesson, or 2 weeks ago, was to get 5 steps to walking in love. Get these 3 questions settled first. I'm not going to go over all that lesson, but what we will do is go over the homework now. So let's go into the homework for lesson 52. All right, here we go. True or false? These are all true or false questions tonight. Jesus gave us a commandment to what? Go ahead.
False.
To love others as He has loved us.
To love others as He is. Yeah, right. I see what you're doing there. Why is there a true and false in front of it? Right. Jesus gave us a commandment to love one another as He has loved us. Perfect, Seth. That's exactly what He did. So that's what our lesson's been about lately. Thank you. That was good. True or false? But He never said exactly what He meant. Therefore, we should just do our very best to get along. True or false?
False.
No, He did. Did He?
Commandment.
He gave us a commandment, but did He ever say exactly what it meant to love one another anywhere? Or if He did, where?
He said, "Love one another as I've loved you."
Right.
As in Matthew 22:37-40, He says, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, your neighbor as yourself."
Mm-hmm.
All these 2 commandments and all the law and prophets.
That's very true. But what I was getting at here was the fact that, go ahead, Steve.
In the love chapter, it talks about, you know, not thinking, love doesn't think evil, you know, it's the way that we get along with other people.
Right.
More in depth there.
All through the Bible,
right.
It's basically telling us what it means to walk in love, right. A very good example of what Steve just said there is that 1 Corinthians 13 and other places. See, love is a fulfilling of the law, of the old law, of everything. Thou shalt, all the 10 commandments are fulfilled by the law of love. And so all over the Bible, really, if you look at, open the Bible and look at it this way, there are instructions in every chapter of every New Testament, every chapter there's instructions about walking in love. It's the one thing that's carried uniformly through the Bible. And so He said what He meant in His Word all the way through the Word. That was my point. Okay. True or false? Walking in love starts with loving those who we rarely see. Where does it start, Madge?
Home.
At home. We learned that last week, too. Walking in love starts at home. Before we risk walking in love, we should make sure the other person is willing to walk in love, too. because as the Bible says in Proverbs 2:23, turn about is fair play. Before we risk walking in love, we should make sure the other person is willing to walk in love too. That would be...
Do it.
Anybody ever look up Proverbs 2:23? There is no verse there. I just wondered if anybody looked it up. I could see no one did. All right. Turnabout is fair play. Is that scriptural?
No. An eye for an eye is Old Testament.
But I've heard that expression before. Have you?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Sure, people use that all the time.
Yeah. Well, turnabout's fair play, you know.
I don't get mad, I get eaten.
Yep. Is that right, Thor? That's that bumper sticker you see everywhere, isn't it? Yeah. I always be very careful steering clear of those people a little bit. Don't drive too close. All right. Be careful about walking in love too often, as it will soon let people know they can take advantage of you. True or false? That's false. God's word should be our final authority on how we should behave in our relationships in life.
True.
True. I mean, if you want to know how to do something, open your Bible. It's in there. We should behave as God's word tells us, even if we don't feel like it.
True.
True. Absolutely true. And if we do, we found out, if you were here last week, there's great joy and great blessing for doing that. Mm-hmm. Doing what God's word said about walking in love is hard and will bring us no joy, but that's life.
False.
We found out last week, or 2 weeks ago, that God doesn't ask us to do anything for nothing. There is great blessing and great joy in putting these things into practice. Next time you're misunderstood, taken advantage of, or feeling sorry for yourself, turn on Days of Our Lives to see the best way to react in love to the situation.
You really did have fun.
Yeah, I kind of got on a roll here, didn't I? No, my point here, I mean, it's ludicrous, really. It's absolutely false, isn't it? I mean, turning on Days of Your Lives is not going to help you solve anything. It'll help you get in all kinds of trouble if you approach things the way they do on these programs. I think, is that still on? Is that a program that's still working? I don't know. Well, it used to be, yeah. I know. Is it still there?
It's not doing anybody any good, but it's there.
I mean, you know, if you want to see exactly how not to walk in love, look at one of the soap operas and then do the opposite, and you'd be pretty, if you don't want to open your Bible, you'd be pretty close to the truth. The Word is a mirror and will show us how our lives measure up to God's standards. True or false?
True.
The Word is a mirror, and the Holy Spirit in you, when you read the Word, will connect with that verse if you'll read it with the idea of putting it into practice and show you how to correct things so that you can be blessed in your life. The husband, being head of the family, should make sure that his wife submits to him. Ephesians 5:22. True?
False.
Should the wife submit to her husband?
It's a voluntary thing.
He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Yeah,
right. In general, she should, shouldn't she? Should the man submit to his wife?
Hey, that's a good answer. Do you remember what she said?
Yeah. What?
If he's loving her enough that she can trust him.
He's loving her enough that she can trust him. That's good. Should the man submit to the wife?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right before that verse says, submit ye one to another. That's the way it works. It's not one lording it over the other, is it? Likewise, wives should make sure that the husband is truly loving them as Christ loved the church. True or false? Is it up to the wife to make sure that's happening?
Oh, yeah, it's impossible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That doesn't work.
No. And it's not supposed to work. Each one is supposed to do what they're supposed to do. We should all make sure that we get what's coming to us, because if we don't, no one will.
Where was he last week? Let's worry about him as a teacher, okay?
All right. Moving right along.
Okay.
Not even going to answer that one. Yeah. That's true, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's false. Okay. After all, as the Bible says in the newer translations, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and God helps those that help themselves.
I don't think so.
That's from Proverbs 3:5-6 in God's New Word. You know, I mean, these are world, I mean, the point isn't totally lost here, I hope. The point is that the world says these things, and if we're not careful, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know, about going in and beating your head over the head for a raise or something like that. You know, Joe did it and he got a raise, you know. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. God never said the squeaky wheel gets the grease. He said the wheel that's in submission to him and doing things his way will eventually receive the blessing.
Squeaky wheel squeaks too much, they get replaced.
Yeah, that's true too, if you will. That's right. You don't have to just oil it, you can just replace that old wheel, can't you? How about God helps those who help themselves? God helps those who trust in Him. Mm-hmm. That's a better way to do it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 does say this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding of how things should work. In all your ways acknowledge Him in His word there, and He will direct your paths. That's a good scripture to put to memory. Wives should put their husbands first. True or false?
Yeah.
True. Husbands should put their wives first.
Right, yeah.
True.
Unless they walk slow.
Yeah.
True.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
They can't both be first, so which one is right?
Which one is right?
They can't both be first, can they?
No.
So which one is right?
Yes, they both can.
Yes, they can.
Both are right, aren't they?
Both.
Good for you. A false dilemma. They both can be first. My job is to put Marianne first. This will work and then all's well. That's exactly right. If everyone will think about the other person before themselves.
That's that makes your day go slow.
Better, doesn't it?
Don't ever put yourself ahead of somebody else. I don't care.
Right. And don't look to the person for your reward. Don't, after you do that, be watching them and see, are they responding? They should be. I put them first. Now, what are they going to do for me? Trust the Lord to see that you get your blessing, and you already get a blessing and a joy in your heart. We talked about that last time. And that's a wonderful thing. We should get it settled. God's word gives us the best plan for our lives because it's the truth. That's true, but boy, I tell you, it's the hardest lesson in the world, it seems like, for some people to learn. You know, they look everywhere but God's word for the answer to their problems. Go ahead.
Get it sets you free.
That's right. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall...
Husbands don't have to worry about the wives' part. It's not their business. Or wives don't have to worry about the husband's part. It's not their business.
If you got that, you got 80% of it right there. I mean,
that's a hard job.
If we quit worrying about the other person and how they're responding to what we're doing for them, I mean, that's a trap of the enemy. You get into that because you build up all these IOUs, things that they're not doing that they should be doing. When God just says, you do these things, I'll take care of the other person, but you put into practice what you're supposed to be doing. And there's great blessing, great joy when we do that. All right. Last question. If we just know this, everything will work out great. True or false? False. You got to do it.
Ah,
I said if we just know this.
That's right.
I got you.
Oh,
I'm looking.
Tricky mind. No.
It's, you know, a lot of people know this. I mean, you know, you can go out of these lessons and know this and agree with the words true, but it'll never work unless we put it into practice in our daily lives. So, just
action.
Action is right.